Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios. A beautiful day for a clinching baseball game. I will say that. Dan Ball and I were walking over to the studio, Fitzy, and it is, I don't know, 77, something like that in late September. It is like we were walking by the beer cases and you're like, wow, what a night to grab a Miller Lite, sit your big butt in a little seat at Fenway Park and just watch those beautiful green jerseys take to the green field with the green wall and punch your ticket to the postseason.
You know who's doing that, Andy and Fitzy?
Not Andy and Fitzy.
Your good friend Dan Ball this evening. I'm very excited.
Boy, ball
I wasn't
game.
rooting against the Red Sox last night, but selfishly, you want to see a clinch in person.
And if you want, well, if you want to see it at all, you kind of need to be here in person because it's going to be like the old days. Because unless you have Apple TV, poor Josh McDaniels doesn't even know how to log on to an Apple TV account. So half the audience will be listening, like I will be, to Will Fleming on WEEI or the Odyssey app.
And don't forget, if you do have the Apple TV broadcast, you can still change the audio settings and listen to the timed up radio broadcast as you're watching it.
So Josh McDaniels has to call his kids back. Once he gets into the game, he's going to, hey kids, can you now, I want to listen to that EEI broadcast. Can you show me how to
Two-part
do that?
Two-part call.
So yeah, Josh, you'll need your kids a couple times. But it is 3 o'clock. Yes, Fitzy.
Well, I was just going to, I wanted to ask Dan Ball, if I may, real quick before we get 3-point stance. Dan Ball, what is the highest leverage or highest stakes sporting event you have attended vis-a-vis like a clinching game, a playoff game? Have you ever seen a championship in person?
I would say off the top of my head, I saw the Hockey East Championship at TD Garden when Jack Eichel was playing for BU. That was certainly up there. I'd have to think a bit more after that, but that's one that comes to mind right off the tip.
Ted Johnson, what was the biggest sporting event you ever saw?
You know what? I tell you what. I can't believe you asked me that question because it's going to be the subject of my 3-point stance.
Oh, so then we'll save it. All right, it's 3 o'clock. Ted's here. It's time for the 3-point stance.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you couldn't clinch last night, but now you're back at home and you can, you gotta get Glassman. Call all 7s at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you lead us off here on this segment. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready for that?
100%, my friend.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
100% is not the number. What the hell was that?
All right, Fitzy, it is your... No, go ahead.
You son of a bitches.
We're having fun. It's Friday.
So the ownership group of the Boston Celtics was on display yesterday. Bill Chisholm, who's the bulk of that $6-plus billion investment operation, was out in front telling us how much he is a Celtics fan and he's going to do anything to help the team. That's great. Love you, Bill. Mean it.
Within reason.
We'll see where that goes. And then there was Wick Grosbeck, and I don't really get what Wick is doing. It's like Wick still wants to be the front man.
He still wants to be Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart or Bobby Heenan or one of these guys out front of the superstar, but you're not that guy anymore. He owns less than 15% of the team. We know that because he wasn't allowed to be the governor because he didn't own enough of the team. Heck, the Twinkie guy that just bought into the Patriots owns almost as much as Wick, and we're never going to see him as part of the Patriots ownership group because he's not a Kraft. And he was Wick was talking about, I'm going to be here for life. Front row seat, you're not getting rid of me. I got two rings. I want two more rings and all of this. This feels weird to me. This feels awkward. And I know they kind of pushed Mark Cuban out in Dallas. There was sort of that same talk. He was going to be a front man, still around. And then they traded Luka. He's like, I would have never done that, but I'm not really part of it anymore. Wick wants to be in the spotlight of the Celtics so bad. And unless Bill Chisholm is a pushover, this isn't going to end well. At some point, he's going to have to be like, listen, I'm the governor. You're the A. Sit down. Be quiet.
I thought it was interesting that you basically asked, like, when there's hard decisions to be made, how's that going to work? And I didn't think his answer was all that clear, concise.
No.
that I felt really good about, I guess he did say he had final say, but he kind of hem and hawed before he got there.
Yeah, so. Kind of like Elliot Wolf said he had final say, and we're not sure he actually has final say.
Good way to put it, yeah.
So the one good thing that I do take from it, though, is maybe while Wick Grosbeck and Bill Chisholm are in some weird, like, rich guy elbowing each other, maybe Brad Stevens just makes the decision, be like, you guys do whatever you need to do. I'll do what I need to do for the Celtics to be good.
I think what maybe you're feeling and others are feeling is that the fact that we found out when the sale of the team went out that he was – he had less than 1% of the team, or 1%. It was his dad that owned it. And so that took a lot of shine off of him. And now this new deal, he's going to be kind of the face of the team, even though he's not the majority owner.
But it's one thing to be the face of, you're not the majority owner, but your dad is. And so, like, your dad just lets you have the spotlight because he's your dad and that's what dads do, whatever. You know, look at Bill Belichick, look at Bruce Pearl. Dads do things for their kids.
Yeah, dad. I don't think dad has any real desire to be out there.
But Bill Chisholm, who tells me he's a Celtics fan, who has raised a Celtics family, remembers his roots in Georgetown or wherever the hell he's from around here. I don't think he's putting $6 billion up to be in the shadow of Wick Grosbeck in his less than 15%. So I just think at some point this gets weird. And if it gets weird, do we start reading reports of, well, one high-ranking source in the organization said this. And is that Wick Grosbeck with all his media sources because he's not happy that he's being phased out? I'm just telling you, if there are whispers and scandals and mistrust in the organization, it's going to stem from Wick Grosbeck. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a headline on WEEI.com. In a piece that I believe Megan Ottolini put up earlier, which says, Wick Grosbeck intends to stay courtside with Celtics, quote, forever. Like, all right.
It's weird.
I don't know if that's, is that metaphorically? Like, is that emotionally? Or are you going to always be there reminding us that you were the governor when Banner 18 was hung up and that, you know, you're kind of still part, like, guy, graduate high school. Stop hanging around the hallways. Move on.
He's a guy that went to college and coming back for the high school.
It's pretty good.
That's interesting. What about where's my man Pags? Where's Pags going to be sitting? Does he get front row seat?
No, he's not going to be front
row. He's out.
I'm not even sure he can get front row when Bill Chisholm brings his WNBA team to Boston, not his team.
I can't imagine that Pags is completely out. So he doesn't own any of the...
Oh, I think he's out. Yeah, no, I think he's kind of out.
I think he lost the bidding, yeah, and now he's kind of persona non grata.
He was a different group. He was part of a different bidding group, and Wick made an allusion to that at one point. Like, there were lots of bidders, and some of them my close friends or people, you know, we're tight with, but in the end, we went with the one that we thought was best.
What Pags thinks of old Wick, kind of feels like he got squeezed out a little bit.
Fruit serum, little fly on the wall. Yeah, there's some... Yeah. There's some good exposés there. Let's put Andrew Callahan and Doug Kite on that for a Herald expose.
Yeah, right.
we'll see where that one goes. It seems like there's at least a potential for drama, which we love here, but we'll leave that one there. Fitzy, I ask you, are you ready?
The time is nigh.
The time is nigh indeed. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right. I'm just going to come out and say it right now. Pats by a lot. No, Pats by a million this Sunday. And there's almost a million reasons why I believe the Patriots are going to win and win big on Sunday. And no, I'm not saying it with the hoodie footy pajamas on. No, I'm not saying it with the Patriots pom-poms or that I'm, you know, the former Foxborough fanboy. There are so many different reasons you should believe why, at least I believe, that the Patriots can and should win and win by a lot this weekend, in addition to the return of Christian Gonzalez, in addition to the ascension of Drake May, in addition to the focus that they'll have put on the turnovers this week, in addition to Carolina not being able to score very many points themselves, being banged up like they were in a team bus accident and having one of the eight worst rush defenses in the NFL. But also, I believe in emotion, I believe in momentum, and I believe that this Sunday, after Mike Vrabel revealed earlier today that defensive coordinator Terrell Williams has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and the team is wishing him the absolute best as Zach Kerr continues to call plays for the defense, I believe, in addition to all of the real football points as to why the Patriots can and should and will win Sunday, they will rally for their defensive coordinator, they will put on a show and play a very emotionally charged game to win one for the coordinator and the fans.
It's going to be an interesting game. It's kind of a hard game to call, really. I mean, you kind of look at,
like, all these
bad, you know, it's they're bad offense against our bad defense. It's they have a terrible record on the road. We have a terrible record at home.
Yep.
Something's got to give in this game.
And there'll definitely be some emotion, because that's the one thing. I mean, we heard that from Josh 2 weeks ago when we talked to him, when he said, first of all, thoughts and prayers. Like, I saw Giardi tweet out that Terrell Williams is very well liked, respected, loved, not just here, but around the NFL, anywhere he's ever been, anyone who's ever touched him. And anybody, I've only been around him for like 5 minutes total, but he definitely has a little bit of almost like
rack Romeo vibe.
Yes.
Rack vibe.
Where, like, you have that grandpa, I feel good when I'm around this guy. I'm just going to stand next to this guy. He kind of emanates good feeling.
I like Deke. I had Steve Sidwell as my D coordinator. I had Rack. Both guys that you just, we're like grandfather figures to you, and you just didn't want to let down. I dig that kind of coaching style, and that certainly is what Terrell Williams is.
And I think maybe they'll get an emotional bump, maybe they won't, because the only thing I don't know is, as I referenced, 2 weeks ago Josh said thoughts and prayers, so I think internally they may have had a really good feeling kind of what was going on for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. Now it's public, and he's going to deal with what he has to deal with. I hope you're right, Fitzy, and you'll get some effort there. In one sense, you get Christian Gonzalez back. That should help the defensive effort out there. And then I do think the Panthers might play a willing victim for one of those momentum games where if you can start fast, the crowd's into it, the team is jazzed up, and maybe it could snowball.
And I think it's interesting. I mentioned yesterday the first game that Terrell Williams called, they blitzed, blitz happy against the Las Vegas Raiders. And then the last two games – that were called by Zach Kerr. Is that Kerr?
Yes,
Zach Kerr, middle linebackers coach who's taken over as play calling duties. Very conservative game plan. So is all we saw in training camp was a very aggressive blitz style from all levels type of defense, and that showed in the first game. And ever since, you know, Terrell's had to step away, the new signal caller, Zach, has kind of gone conservative. Is that going to be the MO moving forward, or – are they going to kind of go back a little bit to what Terrell was doing? We will see.
Conservative.
I think they get after it this weekend, guys, because the Carolina offensive line, as if not more banged up than the Patriots. Their best tight end, Jatavion Sanders, he's banged up. Xavier Legette hasn't been great yet, also banged up. Tet McMillan, likely to play, still banged up. And their defense, like we said, up the gut, Vic can be had all day. They're just great on the corners and on the outside. So if the Pats can control the middle of the field, they should go box to wire with this affair.
You can also add Chuba Hubbard, the running back, as another guy who is banged up. So essentially everybody on their offense, except for Bryce Young, dealing with something right now. Before we get to Ted's, Stiz the sounder, please.
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
We are here at Fenway Park. Red Sox, final regular season weekend. Lineup just real quick. Jaron Duran leads off and left. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Andy's guy, Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah!
In the cleanup spot. Roman Gonzalez at second. Sadon at center. Nathaniel Lowe at first. Willier in right. Carlos Narvaez, your catcher. So it actually seems
playoffs, like baby.
Somehow they've settled in on the nine that they prefer.
That's your playoff lineup right there. Like, Romy has settled in, right? Like, there's a few guys that have settled in. Now, Ted, I didn't care for the face you made when he announced the leadoff hitter.
Well, come on, JD. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go, bud. Let's pick it up. He had a hit last night, but let's...
Well, you know he's the best player in baseball history based on, Dan Ball, I'm scrolling through the stats you gave me earlier. Where the hell... Jaron Duran is the first player in Major League Baseball history to record multiple seasons with 40 doubles, 10 triples, 15 home runs and 20 stolen bases.
No, what do I know?
He stands alone.
What do I know?
He stands alone.
You hear that, Padres? You hear that, A.J. Preller? Best in baseball history.
Jaron, I'm sorry. I said anything negative. My bad.
Jaron for Fernando Tatis. Make it happen. Ted, are you ready?
Brother, I am so ready.
Okay, well,
let's do this.
I can feel it. You're losing the ready.
I am.
I'm so excited.
It is my distinct honor to give you 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, guys, 26 years ago today, I witnessed the best sporting event ever. Do you guys remember the Battle of Brookline, the U.S. Ryder Cup taking on the Europeans at Brookline Country Club, otherwise known as the Country Club? Well, I'm talking about this. Why? Because the Ryder Cup started today. The U.S. is down 1-3 so far in the first day of matches. But let me just take you back to what happened back then. If you will remember, going into the last and final day, Europe was leading 10-6 after 2 days of foursomes and four ball. The U.S. needed 8.5 points out of 12 in the Sunday singles to win the cup. By mid-afternoons, the Americans surged with wins from players from Hal Sutton, Tom Lehman, Phil Mickelson, closing the gap quickly. But what cinched the win? The 45-foot putt Justin Leonard had on hole 17. He was playing Jose Maria Olazabal, and it was the best putt. It's a dog leg left. I've played that course many times. Short little paw.
Drag.
A little bit. Thank you, Gardner Jackson. And it was just a gorgeous putt. All the family and friends of the U.S. players ran onto the green, and the Europeans freaked out because they still could have had the hole. Jose Maria Olazabal missed that putt to have the hole. The U.S. wins in what was one of the best sporting events, maybe probably the best I've ever attended.
Better than Super Bowl 36?
I played in that. I didn't attend that.
Well,
that seems like a hot dog and sandwich.
One could technically argue you attended it.
You had not attended, they would have needed a linebacker.
Very true, but I would say, other than the football arena, that was the best sporting event I've ever done.
I'll tell you what I didn't remember that you just, like, so they stormed the green and
that
it wasn't done?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So he's potentially putting through footprints and divots
That was the big kind of hoopla was that the Americans were disrespectful and the Europeans leaned into that big time. There was a photographer for the Globe. I can't remember his name, damn it. But he gave me some pictures that he took of the celebration. And I have these. I'll show them to you. I know you're really curious to see those.
Bring them in.
I'm gonna show those to you. But it was awesome.
Tomorrow.
A great picture of Tiger Woods pouring champagne over Payne Stewart's head.
Wow.
And if you remember, it was only a few months after that Payne Stewart died in an airplane crash.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot of, and you remember they were wearing probably the ugliest shirts you will ever see made for a Ryder Cup team.
Yes. I remember
how bad those shirts were.
Awful. Like the photos of, I don't know, was it Ryder Cup's past that they
like
were?
Like a bunch of photos on the shirt.
Yeah.
But it was 90s. An incredible weekend and match. And I was always told, here I go again, when I was at the Masters a couple times.
Jesus. They're just spilling.
How many can you squeeze in here?
Yeah, Dan, can you lean over and pick up that brag that Ted just dropped?
Yeah. So I went to the Masters the year before that Ryder Cup, and they said if you ever get a chance to go to a Ryder Cup, it's better than the Masters. And it's hard to argue that. I love that this year it's at Bethpage Black. If you've ever seen that course on TV, it pops. It's a gorgeous course on TV.
And it's public. You can play it if you get there at 1 a.m. or whatever. They have some weird.
That's it, like Torrey Pines is. Yeah.
You got to get there early. I will say, I think this is cooler than the Masters for the simple reason, I think you brought it up yesterday, basically talking like slap a flag on them and give me a backstory and boom.
That's it.
Right? Like we got a little tension, especially in today's day and age where, we need more tension.
Of course, yeah. But it's been a fascinating time for international competition. I love this. This is my favorite event in golf. Hockey had the Four Nations face-off. Baseball has the World Junior Classic. And I know basketball was kicking around kind of adopting what hockey did this year for their All-Star weekend. So I think the more, Fitzy, that you can steer into the international competition, the more that you get out of your athletes that are participating versus an All-Star or something else where guys don't really bring it as much.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys make tons of money. All of them,
in some way, shape, or form end up with hardware, trophies, etc., that they can brag about and, you know, show their kids about and, you know, boast about on WEEI afternoons. But when you get to play for national pride, which is something that many of them say means so much more than just any individual trophy or an oversized novelty check, that's really where you bring out the best in people. And I, you just know how much this matters to these guys. Like, you could see how juiced they are right now. They're down a couple. This is a huge weekend. This matters to all these guys. You know, Rory and DeChambeau, like, these guys are so fired up at this point. I freaking love it. Love the rhetoric. Love the pomp and pageantry. Love the dynamics.
Yeah, I do think at this point, I know some of the numbers thrown around by Liv or whatever are crazy money. But at this point, I don't know that money can really incentivize a lot of these athletes. It is a little pride and not wanting to screw up, not wanting to be remembered for the, you know, remember you had the Dream Team, then it petered out. Then they had the Redeem Team coming back to redeem USA because they were kind of petering out there. Like, once you slap that flag on, there's something real there.
You know what? I think part of it, because we've kind of gotten our butts kicked in this event. And it's, I always kind of think it's because in Europe, it's country versus country. There's nationalism, right? And it's here, it's all one country, right? So there's not, they're over there, there's so much pride in beating each other's countries when they play against each other, where we don't have that same dynamic here. So that when we come to this kind of format, there's a grittier kind of feeling that the Europeans bring that I just don't think necessarily the Americans have, that they kind of have to really drum up to get in that headspace to compete with the Europeans, who absolutely love this type of format.
So one more opportunity. Have you played Bethpage Black?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so you're slumming it like the rest of us.
There's a big sign as you enter Bethpage Black that says the slope gives you the slope rating. It says, basically, if you're not a really good golfer, you probably shouldn't play. So I have no desire to go.
You're not ready yet?
No, I'm good.
The warning sign. Warning, the Black course is an extremely difficult course, which we recommend only for highly skilled golfers.
There you go.
That is the most polite get the hell off my lawn that I've ever read my entire life.
Wow. Something too much for Ted Johnson there. We couldn't squeeze in one more brag.
Yeah, the golf is I love the game.
Love you back?
Does not love me.
It's the best, though. One thing they could do out at Bethpage versus Augusta, I don't know if you guys saw this Instagram infographic. They did a comparison of the Snack Shack prices. Andy, a beer at Bethpage costs 5 times what it costs at Augusta National. 5 times.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, I'll tell you that the ticket to Augusta costs 5 times the ticket to Bethpage. So that's where they get you. And the merch. They get you on the merch, too.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're going to pay one way or the other at these things. All right, that's going to do it for 3-Point Stance today here on WEEI Afternoons. Coming up next, as he always does on Fridays at 3:30, we're going to talk to our guy Mike Giardi. And we're going to spring that question on him that I asked these boys the other day. Through 3-plus weeks of the season, who's done their job better, Drake May or Mike Vrabel? We'll find out what Mike Giardi has to say up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending from Fenway Park.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.